I get a lot of low tapers now. Tapers probably the main.
I think tapers the main. So I get so many tapers. It's a joke. And they're saying, I'm blowout taper, and I'm Sideshow Bob.
Yeah.
You mean a Sideshow Bob, don't you? You know, and that's just what it looks like to me.
Where does the fade start? Where do we think it came from?
I personally think it started. I think it started with military. I will say military originally, but I think the technique's been refined through Afro barbering.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's been refined.
My dad said to me, he goes, no man ever loses his hair, it just moves.
No man loses their hair, an awful lot of men lose their dignity.
Because my dad's completely bald, lost it, and the day his hair went here, his beard grew, his ass grew, his hair back, all that grew. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He's always saying to me, like, you never lose all of it, it just moves location.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban, and we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it, and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap, and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
And I think because I'm an old git, I kind of forget.
Yeah.
So, you know, like Slider to me is Mark.
Yes. Yeah.
But everyone calls him Slider.
Yeah, everyone does call him Slider.
So I always feel like someone's parent calling him in. Forgetting their homework. Yeah. Or something. I always feel like I'm sending someone off. Got to get the names wrong. So I have checked. Oh, so we got a question from Costa Barber, who works for Slider, wanting to know what our opinions were on new barbers' expectations on what they should be making or be paid when they're starting out. Newly qualified.
Bring that in at some point. Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's definitely a good topic. I feel a lot of the young barbers right now, they're looking for that big money straight off the bat.
But no work.
You know what I mean? And you might be good at fading. All right, you might have some decent haircuts, you know. But I don't think... Even 5 years, I think if you've been in the game for 5 years from, say, 16, that will only still put you to 21. Mm-hmm. That's still young.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, you could be good, but you still need a bit more experience.
I qualified at 21 and I knew nothing.
Yeah, and that's what I feel. I feel that you still need more experience. I was cutting from 14 and I would honestly say, even when I left that barbershop, that I started at 19, I left at 28. I felt I knew, you know, what everything in a sense. Like I knew relatively everything in Afro barbering. But I went back to school and I started again as a beginner. You know, so that just shows you that there's so much different aspects of it. And, you know, to be, you know, you want to make that big money, but you need to go through the mills first before and build a clientele base where the clientele, because it's the clients really, the clients that are going to rate your cuts. When you start charging higher money, you're going to see who sticks around.
Yeah.
And it's going to be those clients that are really going to be, you know, your kind of validating you for that price, you know, and I still feel it's over a period of time. Because you can't have those customers in like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years and you're saying, I'm charging 50 quid.
Yeah. Well, it's a confidence thing as well.
You don't go like that. I feel it's over a period of I've got customers that I've been cutting for 20 years.
Yeah.
And they've been with me when I was charging a fiver.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in the 90s.
Yeah.
But now my prices are my prices and they're paying me that. But they're paying not just my time and my expertise, but it's the amount of time that I've put in the in the industry.
Yeah.
And it's that quality. They're saying, no, this guy's been in the industry. He's been doing his thing for 30 years. And I know that I've been cutting with him for 20 years. He deserves that money because he's been in that industry for 20 years and he looks after me, keeps me sharp, all of those factors. But I feel like if you've 2, 3 years and then you're looking for...
You get a lot of one trick ponies as well. You get someone that's gone on YouTube, learned a skin fade, and now he's a barber.
And that's a part. Again.
But are you seeing fading become? I mean, there was a stage, we've got to be honest, that if you were coming to work, you knew you were going to do 10 back to back.
We were saying this earlier, like, I did 2 today, and my whole day.
And it's just disappearing. Like, it's not disappearing, but it's just not.
Well, it'll be a burst fade and a mullet now. I get a lot of low tapers now. Tapers probably the main thing I get at the moment.
Tapers the main. So I get so many tapers, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean every race. And we got, I would say, like I was saying to Sid, 40% Asian, 40% European, and maybe 20% Afro. So we've got a mix, a good little mix of every race coming in.
Yeah, and then every culture has different styles as well. So yes,
all of those kids from... I would say 21 to 15 is the same bloody thing. It's like bloody Sideshow Bob haircuts. Like, that's just what everyone wants, that bloody Sideshow Bob. And they're saying, oh, just blowout taper. And I'm like, Sideshow Bob.
Yeah.
You mean a Sideshow Bob, don't you? You know, and that's just what it looks like to me. And every child has got it. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian. It doesn't matter. You've got that same hairstyle. Yeah. And I feel that it's just so crazy. I feel every kid looks the same. It doesn't matter. It
all the kids around here, especially like they've all got the Edgar cut, where it's just that real short fringe and poof on up. What are you doing? Like, it looks ridiculous.
It's
like,
absolutely ridiculous. That Sideshow Bob look is, and it's just for everybody. No, it's just for everybody. And that's what's so...
But one celebrity gets it and everyone's like, that's the coolest haircut. Yeah, and it's like, just, nope.
it really does my head in. But I would say definitely that taper is turned into... And it's weird, you know, because... I was doing tapers and burst fades. I was doing tapers from the mid-90s because it was actually an American and a Jamaican hairstyle. Like because my parents are Jamaican, and I've been Jamaica a lot of times through, like as a youngster, from about the age of 7 up to teenagers. And I used to go to Jamaica and most of the guys were getting tapers, but at the time we called them drop fades, and the Americans would call them tapers, but this was mid-90s. And that style went away, and then we were doing like Caesar one levels, number ones, number twos, all one levels. That hairstyle went away, and then it's come back again.
They a lot come of these styles, a slight and different
and
name,
it is burst fades again. I remember doing them 2000, and now obviously, with the Europeans getting the influx of fades, they're experimenting with more different fades. Mm. And that's what's happening. These fades they were old fades, tapers, burst fades, like a normal mid fade, you know, a high fade. These are all variants of a fade.
Yeah.
But now we've getting a lot of Europeans with, before it was just a normal fade, a high skin fade.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting a lot of Europeans getting like experiment more with the different type of fades, but they've been around for a long time. All these different types.
They just changed the terminology.
But now, I wouldn't even say the terminology. I would say it's just more in a sense where I would say more Europeans are more comfortable of getting the fade now. With before, to have a European to get a bald fade was too edgy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too harsh. It was too, I don't know. It was just like,
out there, wouldn't
rough.
It? Like,
yeah. That rough look, and I feel that now we've got a lot of Europeans that are willing to they're willing to try it out now. And oh, you know what? Do the burst fade with a mullet. You can do different transitions and different techniques with the modern hairstyles, and I feel that's what makes it easier.
Yeah.
You know, you can get a comb over with a bald fade.
It's true, because you do get, you know, like my client the other day, you know, he's got a mullet, and now he's like, oh, I want to take the fade a little bit back and make it into more of a V cut. And that's not me telling him, that's the client telling
that's
that.
Just what he's
educated himself exactly, and went out and been like, right. Yeah. So it's like when people 20 years ago didn't really care.
The influx of Instagram and, you know, what you see on your phone constantly, and they're like, they look at it and think, oh, I can get away with that now. You know, and I feel like, yeah, definitely a big factor of people feeling more comfortable about doing hairstyles.
Hi there. I'm Anthony LeBan. Welcome to another episode of the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm here today. I've got a blade cut barber. Hello, mate. Thank you very much.
How you doing?
Works with Studio Lewisham, we?
Yes, Lewisham. Lewisham Deptford.
So beautiful. And obviously, Sid the Barber.
Thanks for having me.
Who's creative director here at Jack's of London here in Guildford. Are we Guildford?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know.
No, Guildford, yeah, it's sorry.
So we were just chatting really about the, I guess the Sideshow Bob haircut. Yeah. And I think we've done lots of these, but we haven't actually spoken about the bare meat of the actual haircuts and how it's progressing.
Yeah.
The fades seems to have been the thing that that's brought modern barbering over the last kind of 10, 15 years to being centre stage, fashionable, on the shoulder of hairdressers, nice and even, everything's changed.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems to have, the kind of fade seems to have taken all the credit for that.
Yeah.
Some seem to call it the old revolution of the short back and sides. We don't agree with that, really.
No, I don't agree with it.
Where does the fade start? Where do we think it came from?
I personally think it started, I think it started with military. I do will say military originally, but I think the technique's been refined through Afro barbering.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's been refined. Yeah. I definitely think it's been refined. And what we're doing, like what we're doing now, or what a lot of Europeans are doing now, the fade techniques or the different fade styles and techniques, they're all morely deriving from Afro barbering. I would definitely say that.
Because originally, that's what we're saying, the 20s haircuts were like just a bit of a step, weren't they? Bald, but with a bit of a step, no fade.
A very high fade.
Yeah.
Very high fade, you know what I mean? Very high fade. So, yeah, I feel like the technique's definitely been more refined, and just to have that blend, you know, that blend and seeing the blend, seeing the contrast, mm-hmm. I feel that's a big factor now. That's where I feel definitely it's been refined.
A big difference doing a fade on Afro hair compared to European hair? Different technique?
For me, I would say it is, but we were saying earlier, when
we're
backwards training. I trained in Caucasian hair first, and then I've gone to Afro, where obviously Blade is the other way around. Well, he was doing Afro hair for 20 years first.
I feel, honestly, I'm a fade specialist, I would say. That was my bread and butter. As an Afro barber, it is your bread and butter. I don't think so, if I'll be honest. I think it's very, very similar. Very, very similar. And I feel like once you know levels, with European hair, obviously where it's straight and it sticks out, I personally think it's only a level up. You would start with a number two as a base and then go down from there. With Afro hair, it's a number one. And I feel with Afro hair, because it's curling around, you have to get it to smooth down before you kind of start fading, you know what I mean? But I would say
just a bit more confidence for
Afro. Obviously, you doing it a few more times, once you get the gist of it, I do definitely feel it's really the same thing.
You were saying earlier, the end of the haircut slightly different. Is it the styling side of it? So with Afro hair, once you've put that in, it's there. They're going to walk out looking like that. They're going to look like that for a few weeks.
Yeah, I feel
Afro, white hair, you've got to really style it.
Afro hair is more advanced clipper techniques. That's just it. Mm-hmm. Clipper techniques, trimmer techniques. But with European hair, you can add those trimmer techniques and those clipper techniques and still add the scissoring and still add the styling.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where the excitement comes into it, because I'm gonna use the scissors. I'm going to use all my clipper techniques that I would normally use on Afro hair, but I can still transfer that to European. And then I can use a thinning scissors. And then I can get wax out. I can start, you know, texturizing. And that's, for me, that's the beauty of it there. I can add all of the different cutting techniques to one haircut.
But is the fade disappearing a bit? Has it lost its edge?
I think so a little bit. I think so.
If we're talking about European, then yeah.
Yeah, like high skin fades, parted line in there. Yeah. No one's having that anymore. Like
it's more texture now, isn't it? And I see, I've got a lot of guys in the shop coming in for scissor cuts, just straight scissor cuts now.
And I think that's what the next thing is going to be. Well, it's currently the thing at the moment. I've got many scissor cuts every day, and I think it's like different variations of mullets and round layers and all sorts of different things. Yeah, and I think that's where it's gonna, things like Men's Spy, what you see on Men's Spy.
That's what's
pushing the industry.
I'm getting a lot of that V texture coming around tight around the sides and come around on the nape. Like a lot of that I'm getting now. So yeah, I definitely agree that it is definitely coming out with European, but with Afro barbering, it will never leave.
But this is the thing.
When we're talking about it, and we're talking about whether we're thinking it will go, but as an Afro barber, it will never go. And that's the difference with it. I feel with Afro barbering, the fading game is the bread and butter.
Yeah.
And did the line out, did the lineups, did that transfer into European hair as well?
I think a little bit. I think it definitely has. Even if you don't, and this is what I've noticed, even if you don't line the front or the bar, you're always going to go around the C cup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, just lining that C cup, I think that brings out the haircut with European way more than if I just lined the C cup for Afro.
Yeah,
and left it like that. You know what I mean? Because with European, we're always going to deal with fringes. We're dealing with comb overs. So I feel it sits differently. But I do believe you have to shape up the C cup with European, and that makes it go
pop. Yeah.
That's
what I love about all the changes in the industry, though, is like, obviously I'm a hairdresser for barber. So all these longer scissor haircuts coming in now, for me, I'm finding quite easy. Where it's the different styles, and you know, people with different backgrounds, obviously Afro barber, there's so many different elements in the industry, and there's so many different kind of infusions from different areas coming in.
And that's it.
It makes you have to step up and learn this thing. So no, like, but, you know, 10 years ago I could only do ladies' hair. 8 years ago I was doing, you know, I was barbering, now I can do Afro hair as well. And those things have come because the trends have changed.
Yes.
And you have to go with those trends and you know, keep
and you've gone
keep,
the
keep learning.
And that's the other way around.
You really have like, been on the same journey, but you started at different ends and you've kind of met
in the middle.
Yeah.
And then that's where you can help each other out, I think, in the industry, and like give each other the little boost.
Definitely what it's about. Definitely. And then just putting yourself in different scenarios on different environments, you know, because that helps too. Because, yeah, you could be in your own environment with your own people and it's just, you know, easy.
Yeah. If you're in your barbershop and you become comfortable, don't you? I'm confident as anything in this shop. You know, I can, it's like, I've got my boys here to, you know, back me on everything kind of thing. And the second you leave the shop, you're at your element. And it's kind of like that with your clients as well. I'm getting the same kind of clients every day. So when I go to Barber Connect and I see you cutting hair, I'm thinking, wow, man, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Am I that good? Do you know what I mean? But it's exactly that. You come here every day. You're like, hang on a minute, I can't do that.
Like, I was watching you in, what was it? It was Salon International, actually. Yeah. And I was watching you section and just cut, section and cut. And I was just like, I need to get the section in like that.
Yeah.
Like, and again, like, this is what it is. We can all learn off each other at the end of the day. And, you know, you might see someone doing something, and I'm that sort of barber too, where I will see a barber do something I like and I want to take it. That's how I've always learned. Yeah. I've always learned by working with other barbers, seeing something that they've got, and being like, how do you do that? And then they'll be like, oh, look, let me just show you how to. And then,
but the community is really game for that, though. I think certainly events like Barber Connect or Salon or Barber Bar, everyone's quite open to kind of come over, show you. You know, there's quite a sharing.
And I think that's what's nice about it. But and it's like everyone that goes to these shows, like me especially, I get really nervous. I get nervous when I go on stage and all that kind of stuff. And the second someone comes up to me and goes, I love that, what you just done, how'd you do that? Instantly, I'm like, oh, okay, cool, I'm doing all right. Yeah, and then you want to help that person, you know, like where if no one's coming up to you and saying anything, you're like, oh, I've done a good job.
Everyone make sure they come and say nice things.
So come and say hello to me.
But I mean, do you find the other way though? Are you now getting more tested by your clients? Does the punter come in with a much clearer idea? I mean, we're talking about like the, you know, who thought the buzz would become such a kind of immaculate, complicated haircut. And, you know,
I got plenty of guys that are coming in that seem to know more terminology than me, but in barbering, do you know what I mean? They're literally like, I want, you know,
are they right? Oh, are they just using the words?
No,
completely.
I think sometimes they're just using the words. Like, but they do know what they want, do you know what I mean? I think it's like, and it, you know, so I feel like the clients got harder in a good way.
Yes.
Not in a bad way. Yeah, I think it's like, you know, 10 years ago, I was doing three back and sides all day. That's not like fun. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it becomes mundane and boring.
People know what they want. They want definitely more than what they wanted out of a barbershop anyway, than what it was like 20 years ago.
You've got the side service as well. You've got the drinks, the hot towels. You've got all these other little extras that people expect now, you know? So it's we've never done that. People come in for a 10-minute haircut.
I feel like they've pushed the hairdressing environment is moved into the barbershop to an extent now.
And that's what we were talking about earlier. Is like, I'm still shocked that it's all segregated, the training. So you've got black, white, women's. Mm. So I mean, like, and it's like, we're in a world now where there's like, well, like I had long hair 3 years ago and I was having to go to hairdressers to get it cut because barbers couldn't cut it. And it's like, it should all be under one umbrella now.
Yeah, I agree with Sid with that one, definitely. I feel like, because even when I went to London School of Barbering, there wasn't really a section for Afro hair, but I was lucky I was a master with it already, know what I mean? But there wasn't a section for it, even though that's what I wasn't going there for that, but I remember that weren't there. So I always say, where do you learn these hair types? Where do you get to learn these hair types? And not for me, but for a European person that might want to learn that, you know what I mean? And I've noticed there is a little gap in the market of that. There isn't enough. I personally think there's not enough Afro teaching, and not for me, but for just a normal average European guy that wants to know how to do Afro hair. And even now, when I look on Instagram, TikTok, or even YouTube, me personally, I think we're in the biggest influx of Europeans that know how to cut Afro hair. To the highest bar. And that's what I feel. We're in that influx now. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of European guys, their level is really, really high. And doing Afro hair to a very, very high level. And that's where we are now. And I feel like some Afro barbers, again, they're learning scissor work and changing it up. And I feel like
that's a product of surroundings as well. Obviously, like if you're a black guy in Surrey learning to cut hair, you're going to 90% of your clientele will be white, isn't it? So it's like, and vice versa, if I was in some part of London, do you know what I mean?
But think about it, 20 years ago, was that a possibility 20 years ago? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. If you was...
Oh, but 20 years ago, with Afro hair walking into a standard, European barbershop, it wouldn't have ended well.
And that's what I'm saying.
And you had to have a pair of kahunas on you.
Exactly what I'm saying.
A white guy walk into an Afro shop.
It happened to me 10 years ago. I had a black guy come to my shop. Never cut a black guy in my life before this. I've just gone from hairdressing. I've only just kind of started out in barbering. And the guys come in, I want this haircut. And I didn't even have an Afro comb. So I couldn't even comb the guy's hair out properly. Do you know what I mean? And looking back, I mean, the guy still comes to me now for some reason. But I just end up nuking his hair off and going three on the top and two on the side or something. He wasn't that happy, even neither was I. But that's when I worked in an Afro barbershop. Because I was like, that's not happening again.
Do you think this is all part of that kind of, kind of inclusiveness that's changing? There's more, more women are going into barbershops to get short haircuts. There's certainly short haircuts going around out there that are better delivered on women by barbers.
Yes,
100%. Which, is kind of bizarre because the other way around would never have happened before. And so maybe that's the same. I'm certainly seeing even in kind of salon life with hairdressers, more... black and European hair being done, which was never
together,
the case.
Yeah, together. And I feel like it's definitely blended everything together, and I feel like all cultures are getting more now. That's what I definitely think. And people are not afraid to even try, because they're seeing that guy do it, or they're seeing this guy do it, and they're like, he can do it, so I can. I've seen Josh LaMonica doing Afro hair now, and so from we're seeing a lot of these celebrity barbers or bigger barbers doing it, it's making a lot of the younger generation actually look at it and think, no, I can actually do that. I want to learn all types of, and even for me, that's what it was for me. My passion 15 years ago was I wanted to be a black barber that could do everything.
Yeah.
And I want to be that barber that a white guy came to me and said, oh yeah, can you give me a comb over, and I can't do it. It used to hurt me. I used to go to bed and think about it. I remember that one guy, John, I was saying this to Sid, the barber, actually let me cut his hair once, and I didn't know scissor cutting, and I hacked him up. It was terrible. And he was just like, you have to go back to school, man. I'm never letting you touch my hair again with the scissors.
But it's amazing, because you go from being like, I'm an absolute expert, to I know nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I love about this industry. There's always something new to learn. Like,
I'm in my bed at night, like, you know, cold sweats, waking up, like, fucking fucked his hair up. Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? And it's stressing me out. So it was like, no, I need to go back to school to actually learn this and actually take it on. And it was a big thing for me that, you know, to go into a European shop. And like right now, I get a lot of European guys that come to me, and seeing a European guy come in my chair and I can already see he's pressured. He's like, bloody hell, got a black guy with dreads cutting my hair, might mess me up. And then I start scissor cutting him, do some point cut strokes, and he's like, he's doing a good job, you know? And he leaves and he gives me a tip now because he's like, no, this black guy done my hair and he done it well.
But that's how it should be, like.
He's just, and I feel that's what we're in, that kind of realm now that,
I just wonder how far it'll go, because that's what I think Josh LaMonica and Men's Spy did really well, is when I look at Men's Spy, that's very similar to how I trained as a hairdresser. It's like the setup looks very similar, the sectioning and stuff. And I think that changed the game. Just Men's Spy alone changed the game for scissor cuts and things like that.
Definitely. And sectioning.
Yeah, and I think eventually, maybe not eventually, but like, you know, I'd like to see if, like, I think it'll just be one industry, the hair. I mean, you go to Salon International and you see how much the barbering's taken over in the last, 20 years or so.
Definitely.
It's like, they have half of it now, you know?
When I went to Salon International in 2011, 2012, I think I saw maybe 3 barber booths of the whole.
Yeah.
And I remember who was there. MD Cuts? Afro guy, the guy with locks anyway. I think, I forgot not HD Cuts, it's MD. But anyway, at the time he was on stage, I saw 5 and Simon Shaw with the Wall team, artistic team. And I think at the time, Barber Blades, the company Barber Blades, they were just starting out. They were just starting out. And they had, their guys were the guys that actually influenced me to go on stage and doing the design work.
Yeah.
Because they were doing a lot of design works. They had a product called Graphic Pencils that I still buy to this day.
I remember those.
And they were colouring, doing a lot of colours with the designs. But those were the 3 only booths that I actually saw, you know, at Salon, and thinking, wow, these guys they're doing something different, you know? And year on year on year on year, getting bigger.
Oh, mate, I mean, when I started, the amount of kind of choice of clipper now compared to, I mean, you know, there are a number of clipper companies out there.
No, it's ridiculous. It's so many.
Compared to 5 years ago, let alone
25 years ago. I remember buying one clipper, literally.
That was it.
I
think it was the wall super taper.
And the weird thing about it, now listen to this story.
You're
not going to cry with this one. When I started barbering, there actually wasn't no trimmers. There wasn't trimmers about. In the 90s, we actually used to shape up with the clipper. So the same blade, we would turn over and just and use it and hit it like that. They didn't bring out a detailer until, I remember we was using these white ones from Wall called the Sterlings, and they weren't good. They weren't really that sharp for Afro hair.
Yeah, they were more for around the ears and stuff.
We had this lady.
They'd catch constantly.
Yeah.
The
exactly.
Square ones, weren't they?
This lady called Fifi. Rest in peace, Fifi. Because she passed away a few years ago. And she used to modify the blades for us. Yeah, and we used to, basically, we had to give her the blade and pay, like, I think it was like 20 quid, and she'd modify it for it and get them really sharp. And those were the ones I was using before the detailers actually came out. And then the detailers came out like 99, 2000, and then we was often off with trimmers after that. But before, when I first started, it was just a super taper I was using. I was not even using any trimmers.
Do you not think they should still be learning with the super taper, though, when they first start cutting hair?
It's not even a joke. I think that should be a way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good
I'm being serious, because
well.
I'm not saying that it's
You don't learn to drive in a Ferrari.
It's not exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
It's an average clipper, yeah, and he does the job.
If you can cut hair with that, if you can cut, you go buy a £200 new one.
If you can cut hair with that, any clipper is going to feel beautiful for you after that. You know what I mean? So I agree. I feel like that's the way. I definitely feel that's the way. If you first start a super taper, it's not bad. I've had about 20 of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the same with your scissors, isn't it? When you first get into hair, just single barbering, you don't go and buy a £500 pair of scissors. You go and buy a cheap pair. So you get on. And then when you get your first good pair of scissors, you're like, wow. Like,
but everyone's got, you know, these huge kit bags now.
Yeah.
But have you still got favourites? Have you still got a go-to clipper? Have you, got your favourite bit?
I don't, you know, I've got too much. I've got...
I've got too much clippers.
I've got way too... Right now, I think I've got... I'm bouncing between like 10 different clippers. I'm telling you, I'm not joking.
I think I've got every brand.
I think I've literally got every brand of clipper. Definitely these last 3-4 years. I've got every brand of clipper out there. And majority of the newest stuff and trimmers, the majority of the newest stuff. I think all in all, I think I got about 2-3 grand worth of clippers and trimmers, man. Honestly,
I've definitely got a few pairs at home. I like the JRL Golds. I've stick with them, and then my Wall Seniors.
I can
do everything with those.
Right now, I'm loving the TPOB plays. They're like my go-to right now, and I've been messing around a bit with the Babyliss, the Low Pros.
Yeah,
so I've got 2 of the Low Pros at the shop. And I've got a play at the shop, but I've got a play in the studio.
I've looked at the play.
Yeah, so I've been really going to the play. But I am that kind of barber that...
Have you got a large selection of scissors as well, though?
Yeah, I've got more scissors than clippers.
I haven't. But I've got about 8 pairs of scissors now.
Yeah,
and I've got a range now. So I've got a 7, 6 fives. I've got a 5 fives. So I do use different scissors for different situations.
I've got the same scissor in different brands. Yeah. Like 5.5 offset handle, silver. Just like, it's a 440C steel or something. Like, all exactly the same. It's different brand. Like,
love it. And, you know, I mean, you're doing, your patterning is spectacular.
Thank you, man.
Something, I mean, has that improved with the advent of better clippers? Can you see machines that actually help you get better with? And you must
do,
be.
You do you it must be using them.
Honestly, it's in so much.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't really say no. I wouldn't say there's better clippers or better trimmers in that sense. I would really put that design thing to it. It's just like anything else in the barbering game. It's practice.
Practice.
It's always practice. And I'm lucky. I've got boys. I've had all boys.
So well, you were showing me, I don't remember, when we went to your shop, you were showing me pictures from like 10, 15 years ago of your patterns. You were like, Sid, mate, look at this. Like, I haven't been that good
forever.
No, I've
never, it's not something that a lot of people see it now and they'd be like, they look at me doing it. Like, how do you just do it just like that? Yeah. And you're so quick at doing it. And I'll be honest, it has been hard practice. Yeah. And it's been something that I've been doing from like 14 years of age. Yeah. And it is something that I loved doing. That's the difference about it. I would always come across certain shapes and be like, I need to master that. There was a time when there was stars that were, we were just all doing stars and I couldn't do them. And I luckily I've got sons. They would be my guinea pigs, if I'll be honest. And sorry, kids, but they were my guinea pigs and I actually killed my boys with designs, I would say, from primary school right up until secondary school, until they got to about 15 and they got fed up like, Dad, just leave me alone. I don't want no more designs. And they all got to that stage, but I used them in that time and I just practiced
all the
time.
But again, you're really seeing that crossover into European.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's barely a picture up now that's not got some sort of
design or something
that's running through. Is that you think? I mean, we spoke, before we started, we were just talking about like the celebrity influence and celebrities bringing pictures of celebs in the hairdressing salon thing has been really normal for a long time. Yeah, I guess a decade or so ago, taking a picture into a barber's, you'd have been slapped around the back of the head.
Yeah, you would have.
And that's that. Now it's, I don't, I mean, everyone comes in clutching three pictures on their phone. And it's really helpful. Actually, yeah, it gets that shorthand over.
It is. It's better than the days of the book.
Yeah.
You know, remember the book? They put out the book and the generic hairstyles in the book, and they were horrible. Let's be honest. Mm. They were horrible, some of those hairstyles. So I feel like definitely the celebrity thing's definitely a big factor of
it. And can you see that? Do you see it running through you?
Definitely.
You can see a celebrity get a haircut and you go, and then, yeah, I'm doing that all next
especially
week.
Footballers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially footballers. Yeah, and like, yeah, I also think barbers set the kind of line as well. Like, especially barbers that are trying to do well on social media. If I did a haircut tomorrow and it's a one back and sides, I'm not going to post that on Instagram. Yeah, but if I'm like, oh, mate, do you want to put a little pattern in there or something? Yeah. Then I can take it. Do you know what I mean? For me, I'm taking a photo. I can put something that looks good out there. So I think part of it's the barbers, you know, like
a big thing
I do is I share a lot of random barbers' work. Right? I might see something I like and I put it out there. And someone said to me the other day, they were like, why are you doing it though? Because like you might be putting a picture up that's better than something that you would do. And I was like, but that's only setting my bar higher and making me then go, right, okay, I've got to set the bar up, you know? Like that Cena Cuts I was saying to you earlier, there's a Cena Cuts.
Yeah.
His work I think is unbelievable. And then he puts something up and it inspires me to then go do something similar. So I think it just pushes the levels up and up
and up. And yeah, I feel like even sharing other people's work, I feel like that's not, obviously if you see something that's creative, you know, creatively like dope.
Yeah.
I've got to put that up.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care who it is. Like, I've seen the cut and I'm like, nah, this cut is dope, man. That's got to go up. I've got to put that up. And that's how I feel about it. And it does push the bar in terms of barbers.
Yeah.
Maybe it does push the bar. But I definitely think, it's definitely a celebrity. Maybe it is a slash barber of trying to push the customer in a sense. I know I do it too. I've had a lot of customers and they said, you know, back in the day when the mohawk was a thing, they were like, I'm never get a mohawk.
Yeah.
And then, hey, come on, let's do a mohawk. And then they get it done, you know, and then they loved that mohawk. And then now I'm finding it hard to cut the bloody mohawk off.
By the client.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, come on, let's cut the mohawk. I'm not cutting the mohawk. Yeah, I'm like, bloody hell, like, I was the one who got you into this. It's that kind of thing.
You just push them in the way.
You just push them.
Because they listen to your advice in the day. I got a client who looks like Timothy Chalamet and he's got really long hair and he was like, I want to cut it all off. And I was like, no, you should do a haircut like this. Basically, Timothy Chalamet's new haircut. Yeah. And I've done it and obviously it looks good.
Yeah.
And he loves it. And like that, he's coming back for another one in 6 weeks or whatever. Yeah. And he'll have that for a little while. Yeah. And that's not the celebrity has done that. That's like me and you, trying to push them in that.
We're being influenced ourselves by the kind of imagery we see.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I like that. Yeah, I'm going to, I know I'm that'll pop up on someone in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And we can look at the head shape and the right profile and the person, you know, what they do for a job, if it's going to suit their lifestyle. So I think we are a better position to make that decision. You know? Obviously, it's up to the client if they want their haircut or not. But
some clients, you can't tell them anything. They just want that hairstyle anyway, no matter what you say to them.
But you're also seeing the weird bit. I mean, I was saying before we got, you know, we're seeing an awful lot of this kind of Hollywood approach coming in now where everyone kind of almost doesn't want it to look cut.
Yeah.
Yes. That kind of textured, rough,
grown out kind of.
I
want it cut like I had it cut 4 weeks ago.
Yes.
Which I don't mind doing, though. It's a lot of point cutting, which I quite like. I like the softening and razor work, scissor work again all of a sudden.
And that's what it is. That's the beauty of it right now. And see, for me, that's what I didn't like. We're going back into long haircuts and then now you're going to take me out of the barbering game and that because I don't know how to do scissor work. And that was what got me with the whole thing. And I just thought
that's where you fall back as a barber. If you don't go with that, you're going to fall back and you have to keep going. Definitely. And that's the thing I like about the industry.
And that's
always
get rid of the old one, as you were calling it, that kind of one trick.
Yeah, that's when you just got that one haircut. So you've got, unfortunately,
that's
you've got gone. A lot of these young barbers that are coming in doing the skin fade, like you say, and then in six, that's fine for 6 months. 6 months' time, what they're going to do when they've got to do a scissor
changed.
Cut?
It's changed.
You know, it's like, and I feel like the customer service comes with that as well. Doing a 4-year apprenticeship, you know, if there's nothing to do, I had to get a toothbrush and clean the floor with it. Do you know what I mean? It was like, do you know what I mean? It was like, you had to like work hard. It was like work. All day, every day. And I think that, work. I think that is a big thing in the industry.
I can't lie. Yeah, but like, Sid ran at the end of his shift.
I mean, at the end of the day, there was a cleaner. That was just to make my time wasted. And I like to...
But do you think, I mean, you know, obviously if you're going softer, the kind of longer and longer guard, you know, I said about the buzz cut, you know, we've seen that, you know, proper marine buzz cut, fade, line out, everything done. And now you're starting to see a much rougher edge buzz cut that looks soft. Yeah. You know, is that going to bring in bigger and bigger guards? Which we're kind of, you know, the numbers are going up.
Yeah,
how do we feel about the huge guards?
Someone brought a guard to me the other day. I actually videoed it. And it went viral on TikTok because it was so bloody big. A 20 guard.
Nah.
I swear, a 20 guard, and it went viral. Me personally, just use the scissors, man.
Yeah.
Just use the scissors. I don't see the point. And then I look at it and think, is any hair even going to come off?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's even going to come off. I think, just use the scissors, man. I think anything above a 5...
I don't think I use anything above six.
So I think anything above a 5, just use the scissors, man. I just think it's just...
Anything longer than the width of your finger, you should be doing the scissors.
Do you know what I mean? As long as the width of your finger, why do you need to do it? I feel like higher guards now, I don't think they're good. And then I don't even think they work, if I'll be honest. I don't think they work.
But you've got no tension on there.
Yeah.
But you know... I mean, interestingly, you're now saying that, scissors. What would your advice be? So if you're a barber, you've been pounding it out there, doing your fades, everything's been going well, and all of a sudden, from doing 10 requested fades a day, as you were saying, you know, you've dropped down like 2.
Yeah.
And you've got 8 people who want mainly scissors, maybe a little burst, maybe a little, but mainly scissor work. Or, you know, you find that, you know, there's a skill you haven't got.
Yeah.
What, you know, both of you have gone back and found and hunted out and retrained to perfect that skill. What's the advice for the barber who's sitting there going, no one wants my fades anymore? Or preparing themselves for that terrible moment?
I definitely feel that in barbering, we get new trends and new styles constantly. And that would say like every, 2-3 times a year, there might be a new style that comes through. And so that just shows you that every year there's a new trend coming in. So that means that you can't be stagnant. No. You can't just be staying on one thing of, my fades are going to get me through. Like, there is going to be a day where that dries up. So, and if you're a barber, you should be...
Should be a kind of constant learning experience. I think that should always be something.
Barbering. Barbering isn't just about
Even if it's something that's not coming into fashion.
Barbering, there's a whole aspect of different things and different cutting styles that you put into one. And it should be that. I don't feel that you should be... Sorry to my Afro barbers or my hairdresser barbers, but I feel once you're stuck in one side, it's hard to really say you're a real barber. And I know it's going to be controversial, but that's the way I look at it. And that's what drove me to go and do scissor work.
Yeah.
Because I felt that I weren't an all-round barber.
Once you're going into work in a barbershop and you're not at all anxious or stressed about your clientele that day, you're not waking up like, who have I got in today? That's the moment you've got to go, right, maybe I should learn something else today. Like, and learn, you know, whether that's braiding or colour or it could be absolutely anything, making wigs, doesn't really matter. But you've always got to learn something new because you never know what's going
to
come through.
You definitely have to keep on top of, stay relevant.
Yeah.
Good. You have to stay relevant.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, new haircuts that are floating around, any hate? You get pictures showing it, you're just like, oh, fuck off.
Personally, I'm obviously the taper, we was already speaking about the sideshow Bob one. That does my nut right now.
A taper's annoying. Do you know what annoys me about a taper is that I get clients ask me for a taper and then they go, oh, you know, the last time you've done my taper, it grew out quite quickly. It's because it's a taper.
Exactly.
That's what did that wind me up, actually. Like,
again, I would. It's a hairstyle that I feel.
So what are you to talk? Well, talk me through the sideshow bob. Let's make sure everyone knows what we're talking about here.
The sideshow bob. I would say every young adult from the age of 22 down to the teenager age of, I reckon, about 13, 14, with that blowout taper. I would say blowout taper for Europeans, Afro taper for Afro, but it always looks the same. It looks like the sideshow bob hairstyle. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about, that sideshow bob hairstyle. And that's really it does my head in right now. And I think it does my head in more because I never even used to like tapers as an Afro barber. When I was doing tapers as an Afro barber, it used to always frustrate me. Like, oh, fucking taper, what's drop fader? Bloody hell. And so now that it's come back, but it's everybody now. Yeah. It's like European, Afro, Asian, everyone's doing it. I'm just like, oh, bloody hell. And that's, it's literally, it feels like not just the everyone, and I say everyone and their mum, is getting a taper.
Yeah.
It sounds that bad, and that's the truth of it. It's
can you get burnt out on a single haircut?
Definitely.
I'm not doing it anymore.
Definitely. Yeah. Without a doubt.
But there's ones you get bored of, and then there's ones you don't like doing, isn't it? Like I get bored of doing, to be honest, I get bored of doing a skin fade, to be honest, these days. Yeah. It's the same bloody thing every time. Yeah. But I hate the Edgar haircut. Like I was saying earlier, the Dumb and Dumber haircut.
Yeah.
The Jim Carrey Dumb and Dumber. I hate that. But, you know, if someone wants it, that's the, like,
I feel. Well, fades for me, it's weird because I've gone so past fades. It's just like it's kind of robotic now. It's just, I just do them. It's pretty standard. I just get on with it. And I wouldn't say that I don't hate them. It's just normal now to me. You know what I mean? Because it's just day in, day out fades. I find more exciting is scissor cuts and styling. I find more exciting than Afro barbering.
See, I would say I prefer
in my
Afro
time
hair
right now. It's quite new to me.
I feel like
what you said in barbering. I think that's the beauty of it. At the end of the day, and you could be burnt out with a type or a hairstyle, but you can choose to change it. You've got the chance to go and change.
And have we got haircuts that maybe there's a point in your life you need to leave behind? And there, do you get guys who you kind of go, no, mate, you just shouldn't be wearing that haircut now?
There's definitely. There's a lot of guys
trying to hide the top. It can be a little bit tricky.
I'm going to say this story because the guy came in. He come to VME last week and I think, but he's got it's like a high top and he does a bald, a zero fade on the back and sides, but he's got a direct bald hole in the middle of the high top.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. So it's like from the top, it's straight like a high top. But when you go down, he comes in the shop and I want to shout out to Cut by Manison, Vince the Barber, because they're my co-workers in the shop. And these guys, as soon as he comes in, the guys will be like, the Colosseum. The Colosseum. And I actually look at it and I do the hairstyle. He wants me to do exactly the same thing, but in my head, just cut it off. But he doesn't want to cut it off.
But if he's confident walking and it's hidden, why not?
What
can I
say?
What
can I say?
I think it's the ponytail when you haven't really got enough. More of a pony eyelash.
It's that status quo bald, you know, like long hair.
But it is really wild. It's wild. Every time I look in it and I'm just like, he just literally got a hole in the middle of his head and the rest of the side comes up like a high top. So, you know, there's just some styles, like what you said. I just feel there is a point where you have to say, you know, it's time to go, you know. But
I mean, definitely kind of, you know, I don't know, probably 20-odd years ago, there was still a few wandering around with flat tops.
Yeah.
And I got up one day and I went, I'm just not doing it.
Yeah,
and this year I'm like, no, we're doing something else, and that you have to depart. Yeah. What about things like? I mean, do you guys like enhancers and fibers?
I got a few guys that use the topics and the powders and stuff, but When it comes to the enhancers, no. It's a big no.
I'm
not going to say names, but when no, I was
at, I've got I'd literally just done one the other day.
There must be a call for it.
I
saw a guy at San International when he's walking around, he's got his beard, American guy. He's just like, he's got like someone's going to slap like matte black paint on his face. That's like,
is this it? It's done well it or done yeah. badly?
There's two ways of it. It's like, when you're doing it with a client that, yeah, the front of their hairline may be thinning, but it can't be too thin because it starts to make it look like it's very fake, the yeah. line that you've put in. So there's a balance, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And what we're getting now is a lot of the younger Afro barbers, they're using that as a thing to make the shape up look sharper. So instead of actually using the hair and trying to make it sharp with the hair, or if you can't do it sharp with the hair, you're just saying, you know what, it's a natural hairline.
I think
they're painting it out and using it. I personally think it's making Afro barber, it's kind of putting it down a bit.
And a lot of the younger
barbers are using it as a, oh, look, I'm doing a sharp haircut. But really, if you'd done it without the paint, it wouldn't look like that.
Because you not get young lads coming in the shop showing you a picture, I want this.
Yeah,
and the whole thing is just an enhanced haircut, and you have to explain it to them,
definitely. I have to explain that the reason why that line is that sharp is because they're using fibers or they're doing this or they're doing that. And I feel like a lot of, you get that a lot where that person will show you that picture and think that haircut, they can achieve that
same. Or they have the same hair. But then there is some barbers, like Romeo the barber in Liverpool, I think his enhancement work is really good. Yeah. It looks natural and the haircuts are nice, but it's just some guys are just, it's like
there's
paint.
A way to do it. And like what you said, if you're going to just lace it.
Yeah.
And I've seen people doing it, putting it in corners where there's no hair.
Yeah.
So, and that's what makes it even worse. So you've got to really look, as I said, there's a balance and a way to do it. Even if someone's got really thin hair, I would be saying it to them like, I don't think I can do it because it's going to make it look too obvious, you know? And I feel that there's a way how you're going to balance it, basically.
I'll be honest with you, mine is always the older guy with a dyed beard.
Yeah.
Me wandering around with a jet black beard.
Yeah.
That's a frightening prospect. There's times, just because it's there, you got to say no sometimes. Boys, that was fantastic. I think that neatly brings us to the end of part one. Cheers. Really enjoyed that a lot. Thank you.
Cheers, man.
We've been the Noble Barber. We'll be back for part two. I'm sure great more stories to come. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Noble Barber podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and we'll see you next time.